to the Neil Haley Show. And oh my gosh, you know, a topic like this is so, so important. For our guest today is surveillance expert and journalist Byron Tao. He wrote a book called Means of Control: How the Hidden Alliance of Tech and Government is Creating a New American Surveillance System, Surveillance State. How are you? I guess the system too. Byron, thanks for stopping by, man. And you know, it's out of control, isn't it? In so many ways. And being a journalist, you found that out, right?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on the show. And yeah, I've been digging into this world of governments buying information on all of us for surveillance purposes and all sorts of other things. And the result is this book I just published.
And we don't know how many people are listening to us right now. We know we're live and streaming it right now, so they're listening. But they also, before we even went on, we were being listened to. We're being listened to so many different places. We don't know if there's a specific device that could be tracked by the government. We don't know where we're at. We don't know if our emails are being read, you know, all these things, because they can, in the name of government, they can do it, can't they?
Yeah. So the book I wrote focuses a lot on the ways in which governments purchase data from all these data brokers that get a lot of information about us, you know, in serving targeted advertising, or in, you know, there's data brokers out there that monitor social media. There's data brokers out there that track cars for insurance purposes. And, you know, all of this is collected for a legitimate commercial purpose, but
it's bought by the government.
Yeah. So government entities have also interests in understanding the world and tracking cars around, tracking phones around. And so I really categorize all of the ways in which data that we generate in our day-to-day lives, whether that's, you know, by signing up for a magazine or taking out a mortgage or going on social media and creating an account there, or, buying something on the internet, all that generates some sort of data. And there are government entities out there that have found very useful and interesting things to do with that data involving public safety, involving military operations, involving intelligence operations. And governments want to understand the world. They want to track people. They want to do, they have a public safety mission. They do military strikes. And data that we all generate every day is useful in a lot of those missions.
Oh, 100%. And so what can we discover? I mean, like, that's what I was trying to talk about. Everyone's listening to us. Do you really think it's fair that all the social media companies are tracking us? All the car companies are tracking us. So many people that are public entities are tracking us. You know, yeah. You think the government, but we didn't know that that's what they sell it back to the government. I don't think that's a fair thing at all.
Yeah, it's a good question. And, you know, I think that the way that the government sees it is that, you know, they have a very important mission, right? Law enforcement entities, police officers, they're trying to solve crimes. The military, they're trying to keep us safe, and they're trying to keep us either in or out of foreign conflicts, depending on how you feel about the military. The intelligence community, they're also trying to understand what our adversaries are doing or fight terrorists. And so their view is, if Home Depot gets this data to target ads with it, if Walmart can use it to figure out if you want patio furniture or children's toys, then our public safety mission is just as important, if not much more important, than what these corporations are doing. And these corporations collect this data in many ways because, people don't necessarily want to pay for everything online, right? If you make an app that's 99 cents, or if you, you know, create a website and you try to get people to subscribe, you're going to get far fewer subscribers than if you make it free and charge digital advertisers a little bit of money to reach your audience. And so there are perfectly good reasons why these web publishers, put advertising on their site. There's good reasons why corporations collect data, and there's good reasons why governments try to acquire that data. The problem is that it's reached such a proportion of and such a scale and scope of data that's out there about us and that's available for either sale or sometimes just taking, that I really think it is starting to pose some problems for how we as a society, as a free society, as a democracy, are starting to do criminal justice and public safety, right?
100%. Because
no longer do you need to go to a court and show that somebody is a criminal. often you can just buy this data on the open market. Often you can look at people's social media and they say all sorts of things on it. And so I really think the amount of data out there is changing the privacy calculus and changing some of the rules of the game as we have traditionally understood them vis-a-vis government power.
Absolutely. So is that, but I don't think it's a good thing. Do you think it's a good thing in your book?
Well, you know, I'm pretty critical of this world in the book, but I also want to be fair, right? I'm a journalist. I try to see both sides. I try not to, I try not to jump to conclusions and say that things are either all bad or all good. I do think the amount of data that is collected on all of us by corporations is done somewhat sneakily. You know, some of these companies aren't being forthright, or if they're being forthright, it's buried deep in page 300 of a 400-page privacy policy that they know nobody reads. So a lot of this data on the corporate side is being collected in a sneaky way. And a lot of what the government is trying to do with it is being done in a sneaky way. Now, it's not exactly classified, but a lot of these relationships that our government has with data brokers are very difficult to uncover. And it took me almost 3 years of reporting on this topic to really get to the bottom of exactly what our government is buying and how they're buying it and where it comes from. And I only have a small sliver of a window into this. There's much more going on that I never quite got to the bottom of. So I do think that just from as a citizen, as a user of technology and a voter in a democracy, I do think it's fair that people should be potentially concerned about the amount of information that corporations have on us and the relationship that a lot of those corporations have with government.
But the problem is millennials, Gen Zers, they don't care about, they want us to advertise to them based on what they're thinking. They want to say that they visited a website and then they get an ad, and then, or if they talk about it right by the television and that smart TV throws that commercial on, because we had talked about that topic. They want that to happen to them so that they can make their buying decisions, because a lot of people don't watch television anymore. They stream, and streaming has very minimal ads. So they want this to happen. I think it's going to be very hard for the next generations to eliminate this if they really want it to happen. Have you gotten that feedback from people reading the book saying, I don't really care? I want people to let me know that, hey, I really need a gym. And then there's a gym ad shows up. Or if the government has that data, it's going to protect, they're here to protect us. Or they're more open to what China is doing for long term than, let's say, people 50 and old, or they're like, oh no, that's not happening in my life.
It's a good question. I do think the privacy norms among young people are a little bit different than among older people. For example, you know, a lot of my younger colleagues are still on these sort of family safety, family tracking apps with their own parents, even though they're well into their 20s and should, you know, they're living their lives here in big cities in Washington by themselves, and yet they're sharing their 24/7 location with their parents. So, you know, there are definitely different norms, and, you know, I wouldn't do that. I'm only 38, but that sounds abhorrent to me. I would never let my mother know where I am 24/7. So it's true that there definitely are different norms. And I do think young people are very into their social media. You've seen it with the TikTok thing. There's a real backlash against the idea of banning it, even if there might be some legitimate national security concerns. On the other hand, I do think older people sometimes don't fully understand the technology.
Oh, they're getting messed up all the time. I may have no idea.
Exactly. Like my mother, she's in her late 60s. She loves her Alexa and she has it listening all the time to her.
Now, do you have your Alexa programmed and you don't care what people you say in front of Alexa? Are you fine with it?
I don't have an Alexa.
Exactly. I wouldn't think somebody like you would not have an Alexa.
I did at one point, and, you know, I figured that the privacy risks, the risks of hacking, the risks of the data being misused by a corporation like Amazon were just not worth the convenience, right? I can go to google.com/weather and check the weather. I don't need to talk to this microphone. But, you know, like everything has microphones. You know, I do have one of those goofy smart thermostats, and, you know, Google's not listening in the same way. But if someone were to hack that device, if I were a very interesting target to some foreign intelligence agency, and I don't really believe I am, but if I was, could you turn my smart thermostat whose only purpose, the microphone's only there so that it knows if I walk down the hall and can, you know, it says Byron's home, I'll turn the air conditioner back on. Whereas if I'm away for 2 hours, it turns it off. Could that microphone be used against me? The answer is yes. You know, if somebody with enough resources who wanted to harass me and figure out what was happening in my house, could they turn that device into a spy device? Yeah, they could. And so this is the problem with modern life in a lot of ways, right? That's yeah. with TV. It has a you know, click to tell me what show you want.
Oh yeah, they're recording everything. And that's the thing. And then people are monitoring that for ads, but you have employees that could be going into other people's privacy. And see, I'm kind of like the young people. I don't care because I know they're going to figure it out, right? If somebody wants to hear my life, go ahead. You know, like how Gary Vee goes live for 12 hours a day, co-working, right? I learned about that a couple of days ago. I'm like, well, I'm kind of doing that live streaming a bunch anymore. And I'm sure they're picking up certain things. What is he doing? What is he thinking? Oh, well, but it's going to get worse, not better. And are you going to at least tell him to watch out if it gets as bad as China? I'm sure in your book, you talked a little bit about what China does to track people, right? It's pretty bad.
I mean, if you think about, and I'm not drawing any moral comparison between the United States and China, because I don't think there is one. I do think the United States is a functioning, if not imperfect, democracy, and China is a genuine authoritarian state that is repressing a population, a minority population. So we're not talking about the morals of what governments or businesses are doing with data. But if you think about the data that's collected on the average American citizen and the data that's collected on Chinese citizens, it's not all that different. The amount of information that's given to the state to weave together into one giant sort of nightmarish database is different, right? China, its local police definitely has access to a lot more information about every citizen, and that's drawn from corporate records and government records. In America, we don't take the step of giving, you know, Officer Friendly down at the police department a 365-degree look at everything everyone's doing all the time. But a similar set of data is in you know, hospital data banks and corporate America and in your Gmail account. All that information is still there. We just as a society haven't taken the step of weaving it all together and giving the local police, access to it.
Unless they take a search warrant, right?
If you have a search warrant, you can do it. And if they get a search warrant and they can say that, you know, we think Byron's a bad guy, here's Your Honor, like, here's the reasons why we think he's a bad guy.
Now we can break into
this. We can go get a lot of information about Byron. But until then, that information is scattered around 100.
You really think that's happening? Or you think there's some people bending the rules? I guess everyone bends the rules in some sort of ways for the side of law. So what is the ultimate goal for you writing this book? What do you want people to learn? I mean, it's intriguing. I could talk to you, but I love you're taking this journalist point of view. You're not going to say it's bad because you're being a journalist, and I, and your book probably gives both sides to this argument. And that's great, because not many people do that when they write books.
Yeah, I see it as my role to give the public good information. And, you know, when I started doing this reporting, I thought that in a lot of ways, the truth about what people's devices are doing, what services they're signing up for and where that data is going and what their government is doing with data about them, I thought a lot of that was being hidden from people, and I thought it was being hidden from people on purpose. And I will go out on a limb and say that that's bad, right? I do not believe that corporations or governments, except in the most extreme circumstances, should really be hiding the ball about exactly where what they're collecting about people, what they're doing with it, and how they're putting citizens' data to use. And I think it's important for people when they use technology or when they sign up to a government program, I think it's very important for trust in the corporation, in the device, and in the government for all citizens and all voters and all consumers in their role of people who buy technology and use it. I think it's important that they know what's going on their device and what's going on with these services. And so that's really my goal. I'm trying to educate. And, you know, certainly there are bills in Congress that various lawmakers are proposing. There are things citizens can do if they want to reclaim some of their privacy. And I do try to talk about that a little bit in the book. But in general, my aim is to try to educate.
Well, you're educating. So it's interesting. You're not taking a huge stance. I mean, Like I told you before, like when Neuralink, when they can put Neuralink in my brain, I'm doing it. Okay. Last question I had, and you just gave me 1,000 points. Is government going into our ChatGPT and Gemini with the information we're feeding that all the time? Is our privacy being taken there? What are your thoughts on that?
I have no idea. I will tell you that the hunger for data is only going to increase because of these technologies, right? These things are trained on data that we generate. They're trained on Reddit posts and stuff people say on YouTube and radio broadcasts. And so to get these things to even work, you need to go out and get these gigantic data sets and then tell the computer, you know, this is, read all this and behave just like it. And, you know, the amount of public data that's out there on YouTube and all that, that is only a small fraction of what's really on the internet. If you think about all of our private messages to one another, if you think about all our emails that we send every day, that amount of information dwarfs whatever is posted publicly on the internet. And there is going to be a lot of pressure at these tech companies that have huge data sets. And I'm talking all the big ones that everyone uses every day, your Facebooks, your Googles, your Apples. They have billions of users who are saying things to other users every day. And there's going to be a ton of pressure to feed that into these future artificial intelligence systems. And maybe they're going to do it surreptitiously. Maybe they're going to be honest with people and ask them to opt in to train these systems. I don't know.
That's book two for you. That's another book two, right, Byron? And so where, because that's going to be so much you want to dive into, because what I've said to ChatGPT and Gemini is, and it saves compared to sometimes you can kind of clear your cache or delete your searches. You don't want to delete your searches. You think it's gold when it's Gemini or ChatGPT. I think it's gold. I wish there's a search ability for all the chats. I'm telling AI right now, go ahead and do that. But where's the best place we can find info on you and purchase your book? Where's the best place, Byron?
On me, you can buy my book, Means of Control, anywhere books are sold. I'm on Twitter/X at Byron Tau. That's T-A-U. And that's Byron, not Brian, B-Y-R-O-N. And I work for a publication in Washington, D.C. called Notus. That's N-O-T-U-S. Sorry for all the spellings, but just want to make sure people find their way to the right place.
And you're amazing, Byron. I really learned a lot, but I also am impressed that you stay journalist. Good luck to you on that one. But I appreciate it. Thanks again, Byron. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.